You've never heard of them. You won't see them bronzed up on a Sunset Strip billboard or chasing 20-something models on Love Island. They have a collective total of zero Heisman trophies and Cy Youngs between them. They won't be walking the red carpet or hosting an Oscar anytime soon. When they get free drink tickets on an airplane, you bet your ass they fucking use them. It's just two guys trying to make it happen. Trying to raise kids, take care of their families, and dropping in on your airspace for 15 minutes in hopes that you get a little something out of it. And maybe even put a little something in as well. It's two guys, one podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Ron Allen and Brian Harris.
But there's one thing I know for sure.
What's up there, Mr. Brian?
Hey now, what's up there, Ron Alleman?
How you doing, Ron the Al Alleman? I'm doing
Ron
great,
the Al. Ron the Al Alleman in the house.
That's what they call me.
How did you get that name?
Well, you know, that's a great. People ask me that all the time.
I bet they do.
Oh, it was a long time ago. I think it was because my last name starts with AL.
Oh.
Or it looked like Al Bundy.
I never put that together. Like, I guess I never pieced that together. That would make sense, though.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that no one has ever called me that, by the way.
Oh, okay. So I don't know where I heard that. I thought I'd picked that up somewhere. And
no,
anyway, how you doing,
you
man?
I'm doing pretty well, brother. I had a really nice week, very productive. Nobody drowned. No one came close to any quicksand. Everything was great. How about you?
No near misses or, you know, close to near-death experiences this week, huh?
No, not this week. Very boring week. I love my boring weeks. You know, just hanging out with the family, e-learning, watching some football, a little bit of baseball. And that's really it, man.
Are you watching the baseball playoffs? Are you still engaged? I kind of checked out once the Cubs lost.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the Cubs lost, so I've checked out a little bit as well. But, you know, you got to watch baseball. I mean, there's really – as far as sports go right now, obviously we have football, but baseball is where my heart's at. So we're watching the Dodgers try to pull it off. These guys have been there. They've been so close for, I don't know, what, the last 8 years, and they just can't get a win. So we're going to see what these guys can do. I'm really rooting against the Astros.
Me too.
So hoping Tampa Bay just whips the shit out of them, just closes them out, sweeps them. That would be great.
Yeah, man, I agree. And, you know, obviously, big void in my sports programming life now that the WNBA finals are over. I was obviously glued into that, but that's over and done with. So,
how's Reggie Miller's sister? Did she score any points this year?
Yeah, I think she averaged a triple double.
Jeez.
Pretty good. It's pretty
that's
good.
Hot.
Pretty good. So, what do we got here, man? One of your associates and friends coming on today, huh?
Dude, this is awesome. Yeah, this was great. So, I met this guy. We're gonna have him on here in a minute. Here, his name is John Porter. His son and my son are classmates over here, and that's how we kind of met, just through school. But we got to talking one day and found out that we both have a lot in common, both in the food and beverage industry. John has a couple companies and a couple tours. One of them is a pizza tour, which you know is right up my alley.
For sure.
The other one is a prohibition tour. Yeah, here in Chicago. So I'm going to let him kind of talk a little bit more about that. But
cool.
Really, really good guy. I'm glad that we got him here today.
That's cool, man. Our first live guest, and hopefully it won't shut the entire fucking thing down. But
it's
we're
a real
give
honor
a try.
To have you on the show, and really excited to dig in with you today. How are things going, man? How's life treating you, and how's things faring with the ongoing saga that is coronavirus? And tell us a little bit about your life at the moment.
Cool. Well, thanks for having me. I'm always happy to speak with other adults for a change. You know, like you mentioned, it's been the coronavirus, you know, going on here. So since March, you know, we've been kind of just keeping it tight in the house. And it's my wife and I, and I've got two kids, one's in sixth grade and one's in third grade. And it's like full e-learning going on the whole time too. So our house has become, you know, the office, the school, the gym, The restaurant, it's everything. So, yeah. So like I said, it's good to see, just even see adults here. But yeah, I see it's up there here. I am the founder of Chicago Pizza Tours. I started that company in 2010. I'm also the founder of Chicago Prohibition Tours, which was started in 2014 with my business partner. He was working with me as a guide and driver at Chicago Pizza Tours. And then we came up with the idea for a Prohibition Tour in 2014 and launched that. So those are the two tours that I operate full-time when it's not a worldwide pandemic. Currently both companies are just paused right now. And we've been kind of, you know, finding out what we're going to do along the way, you know, at this point. And, you know, just trying to get through 2020 here. We've done a few different things. You know, there's been some virtual stuff that we've done, or at least partnered with or piggybacked on. But we've also, we took, you know, we were giving bus guided tours of significant pizzerias in Chicago, for years, 10 years, like I said. And when this all hit, you know, it stops and we had to kind of adjust to what we're going to do. We've actually done these quarantine, versions of our tours where a limousine, we work with a limousine company called M&M Limousine, and we have them pick these groups up at their house, take them to three of the spots that we work with on the tour. I've pre-recorded videos on that I've loaded into YouTube about the spots that they go to, and then I coordinate all the food and the back end and all that. Yeah, we've done hundreds of them at this point now. If you would have told me in February of 2020 that I'd be putting together limo tours that are virtual where I won't be there, I would have been like, you're out of your mind. Nobody would do that. And why would I even bother wasting my time with something like that? But, you know, March came and things got weird and we went from there, and we've done a ton of them at this point.
That's amazing.
And, yeah. And as the weather's kind of turning again this fall, we're continuing to do some more. So we're seeing a little uptick here in October, and, you know, we're hoping it's not going to save the company from what we do, but it's nice to at least have something going on during this time. And then with the Prohibition Tours, again, you know, there's a capacity limit in these bars and restaurants. So even if we could really, in theory, sell tickets and start running again, it doesn't make sense because we can't bombard these restaurants with bigger groups of people. And we won't want to do it in small groups because it doesn't make sense financially. So we're really fortunate that one of the subjects that we talk about on the Chicago Prohibition Tour is the biggest bootlegger that ever lived, who lived in Chicago from the time that he was 8 until his 30s. And when he decided to drop his law practice and become a bootlegger, and his name is George Remus. And we'd made him kind of a focal point of the tour because everybody expects the Al Capone, everybody expects the Dion O'Banion and the outfit and all that. But Remus was supplying these people, and he was kind of a bigger name that flew under the radar, even though he was this very, you know, very wealthy, flamboyant type character. He's just a lesser known name, right? He wasn't in charge of killing people left and right like these guys were. So we made him really kind of like this reveal on our tours. And one day, these people from a bourbon company called George Remus Bourbon, they just happened to be on our tour and they relayed it back to their corporate and said, hey, there's these guys in Chicago that are taking out busloads of people and talking about George Remus. I think there's something there. And they kind of put us all in contact with the marketing team, and we kicked a few things around, and basically it led to us getting sponsored by them. And they've been a great partner to have, you know, over the years. And, you know, of course, during like the sponsorship, we decked out our buses with all this George Remus bourbon, you know, wrapping and all that. And we kind of worked in, oh, you want to try his product when we're at this bar and all that. But then again, with coronavirus and all that, and all these places being shut down, they still have a marketing budget, but they needed to get creative with it. They can't go out and do these elaborate tastings and events and all that. So what they decided to do is put together a series called Cocktails with the King. And it allowed myself and Jonathan Notek, my business partner on that, to really do sort of like a deep dive into George Remus's time in Chicago and kind of go follow like where his pharmacy was and go look at where he went to college, where he went to law school, and kind of look at his boyhood home and stuff like that. So we had a cameraman that would follow us around, and we would kind of put together these 20-minute videos on his life and what it was like. And it was really cool that we just had the resources to be able to pull that off, you know, during coronavirus when we can't run our tours. We have to still kind of talk about our tours, you know, when we're not able to run tours. So that's been a lot of fun.
Seems like a really inventive pivot. And sorry, Ron, welcome back. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Oh, thanks.
But just what an inventive pivot. And John, I would imagine you're not alone in that respect. You know, it's sink or swim for a lot of businesses out there that have to find new ways to reinvent their offerings. And certainly that's a very creative approach that you guys have taken for sure.
Right. I mean, and it's always evolving too, right? Like, you know, when this first comes through, we're like, all right, 6 to 10 weeks. We're going to be locked on. And we're like, oh my God, 10 weeks. There's no way we can do that. You know, and you kind of make it, you take it week to week. And it's like, I don't even know how many weeks it's been at this point, but we went right past that 10. So
yeah, John, one of the things I thought that was really cool about your Cocktails with the King program was you guys were actually cruising around Chicago, going to the old historic spots where this guy grew up. And at one point you're actually standing on the 90 expressway because you had wanted to go to where his old childhood home was, and obviously it wasn't there anymore, been replaced by a super highway. But what's really cool about this is that you learn about some Chicago history along the way. It's just a really fun program. I'm glad I watched it.
Thank you.
The one thing I kind of want to just get into real quick with you guys is just, you know, talking about the situation that we're in, and we're in a pretty good one here. And without even talking about coronavirus and COVID-19, I mean, we've got our kids at home. Some of us are homeschooling 100%. We're with our families now a lot more than we used to be. I mean, we have a big election coming up, an uncertain future. Sports are only on TV. We can't attend any sporting events. We can't go to concerts. Restaurants are shut down. I mean, so there's just so much going on right now. And as far as like the mental health thing, man, I mean, it's obvious that some of us are doing better than others, and, you know, things are kind of coming to a head. And I wanted to tell you about this quick little story that I had with my neighbor next door. So there's a guy that lives next to me. He's not the owner. He is a renter. Okay. He's kind of out of place. We live in a family neighborhood, right? Lots of kids, parents, and we have a little basketball hoop in my backyard. It is one of those adjustable hoops, Brian, you know, so I've got that thing set at 8 foot because when I go out, whenever I take out the trash, I just jump, I grab that rim, snap it back up, you know,
bam,
because I could dunk a 10. I mean, I try not to show off too much in front of the kids, but, you know, I am a dunker at heart.
You're a dunker through and through.
Through and through. So we're out in our backyard on Saturday, innocently playing basketball. Me, my 5-year-old, my 11-year-old, okay. We're not tearing it up. We're just goofing around. I've got some stuff on the grill. We're just shooting some random hoops. The tenant next door jumps outside and starts barking at us in some European language. I'm pretty sure it was Polish because, you know, I am part Polish. Screams at us for like 10 seconds. Oh, yeah. Wild stuff. He goes back inside the house. He comes back out about 5 minutes later. Now he's speaking English. Now all of a sudden he's yelling at me. Yelling at the kids, I can't stand the sound of this basketball. I can't deal with this. I work 12 hours a day. And I'm like, well, I don't care. I really don't care what you do, man. We're going to shoot hoops. And he looks at me and goes, and you're the father. You're a piece of shit. I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm like, all right, why am I a piece of shit? Oh, because you let your sons play basketball all day long, and I can't stand this. I'm like, all right, buddy. So I had a few choice words for him. He goes back inside. My wife calls the police. The guy doesn't come out because he's scared. I'm pretty sure he was wasted. And then later on that night, my dog goes outside. We're not the kind of people that throw our dog out for an hour at a time. We let him out, make sure he does his thing, and comes right back in. So my dog's out there barking a little bit, probably for about 3 minutes. Guy calls the cops on my dog for barking. So now it's like on, right? Now it's on. Now it's like, okay, pal, we're going to be smart about it, but I don't want this guy screwing with us anymore. So anyway, could it be coronavirus? Could it be all the intensity of living under these conditions? I don't know, man.
You say you thought it was buzzed up at the time?
Pretty sure it was buzzed up. This guy, well, he drives a cab, first of all, so that's his gig. But then I've seen the actual owner of the home, the guy that rents him his room, have the cops called on him on occasion as well. So he's just like a bad apple. He's in the wrong neighborhood, basically. You know, he can't act that way around a bunch of families and kids trying to have a little fun on the weekend on Saturday at 1 p.m.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting what you say, Ron, about the altercation you have with your neighbor, because I definitely feel that there is just a general heightened level of tension, right? Just everybody's sort of at a heightened level of tension. And actually, since your particular incident included somebody, you know, barking out a foreign language, I also wonder if maybe he was just cheering for you, for your basketball dog, which could have just been a misunderstanding more than anything. Because I've seen you get air, and it's worthy of some loud, bellowing cheers. So
it is, and maybe he was cheering for the kids, and he was just cheering against me.
Yeah, which, you know, can you blame him? I mean, two against one. Let's go. I mean.
Are you the Ron Artest in this situation?
I think so. I'm getting screwed over, man.
Yeah. So, Ron, it's interesting the story you tell about your neighbor, because I was in a similar near scrape not too long ago. My son Gavin and I were at the baseball fields adjacent to our house. It's a private school, and we went over there. My son's Gavin plays baseball, as you know, and we decided we're going to hit some shag some fly balls, and admittedly there was a sign on the field that said the field is closed, but the gate was wide open, and we figured maybe it's not so closed. The field's in terrible shape, so we trotted out there. You know, we weren't out there more than 5 minutes when this massive huge man comes stomping onto the field, man, and he was fired up, F-bombing me before we even got on the field. You effing this, you effing that, you effing idiot. And, you know, man, it was it was way more heat than we needed for the situation. And I found myself, like, giving it right back to the guy. I'm not very confrontational, but, you know, this groundskeeper was, you know, fired up.
Oh, this was a groundskeeper?
What's that?
This was the actual groundskeeper.
Yeah, it was the groundskeeper for the school.
And how do you know that this was the groundskeeper?
Well, he was, you know, dressed in those green, like, one-colored, almost like leotard. It had a big tag on it that said groundskeeper.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
No. I'm assuming he was either a groundskeeper or just happened to be a guy that's super passionate about the field next to our house, which is odd in its own right, but I'm assuming he's in some professional capacity for the school. And, you know, so anyway, long story short is we ended up pulling out of there. And, you know, as I'm driving away, I'm really, you know, barking right back at the guy. And he was, as I mentioned, much, much bigger than I am. So it was also make sure to be my most vocal as we're peeling out of the parking lot. And, you know, as we're driving away, he's like, come back and say that to my face. And I was like, yeah, fuck you, asshole. as we're driving away. So, but yeah, man, I think blame a little bit of that on coronavirus, because I'm typically not that way, but this guy really struck a nerve with me, and I was, you know, certainly not afraid to yell at him as I'm driving away.
Well, you can blame it on the coronavirus, or you can blame it on the fact that you and your son were trespassing, you said there was clearly stated, do not come in. This place is closed. So, yeah, I think either it was the groundskeeper or it could have just been a very passionate father that's just a big stickler for the rules.
Yeah, well, in either scenario, I mean, I guess that's point counterpoint there. But, yeah, I mean, there was the sign there that can't be denied. And
I mean, if I would take one positive thing out of your experience is that you showed Gavin that when you're going through coronavirus or a pandemic and when you're trying to help your fellow man, there's nothing like a good old trespassing and and getting into arguments with the random strangers, guys trying to do their job, you know.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I think a life lesson he hopefully took away is that if you do get into a verbal altercation with someone much bigger than you, make sure that the car is started and you're driving away before you start barking back at them. You know,
that's the most important thing. That's what the mistake that a lot of people make in the movies is that they'll do something stupid and then they run to their car and they can't find their keys. The car's locked. It won't start. Get everything going, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then
put that thing in drive.
Yeah, exactly. So, Ron, I know you've got a list of other topics and we don't want to keep John all day, but I do have a couple things I want to ask him about. So actually, Ron, if it's okay, since you brought up the pizza tour, I would love to just really quickly understand that a little bit more, how that happens and sort of what the experience is like. I'd love to hear you describe that a bit. And Certainly caught my attention.
Sure. So, I mean, like, Chicago Pizza Tours, it is what it sounds like, right? We created a tour company based off of significant pizzerias. And what we like to say is that we visit culturally significant and neighborhood places. So everybody that thinks of Chicago pizza will typically think of the deep dish pizza. And I mean, that's understandable. It's kind of what we're known for. It was invented in Chicago. It's not nearly as popular anywhere else as it is in Chicago. But for the most part, the locals really only eat it on special occasion or when people from out of town are visiting us. We grew up on what's called a thin crust tavern style pizza. So when I started putting together, you know, what I wanted to do for the pizza tour back in, I mean, this goes back to 2009 or maybe even late 2008, you know, back then before I had incorporated. But I thought to myself, let's get a centralized place in the downtown area that isn't as popular as like Pizzeria Uno or Gino's East or, you know, one of those big names, right? Because like if you come to Chicago, chances are you might go to Gino's East on your own, or you might go to Pizzeria Uno on your own, and that's great. We want you to do that, like, but you there's no need for you to sign up for a tour to come with me to go to the places that you're probably going to go anyway. So, mm-hmm. So we went with Paisano's down in the Loop, and there's a lot of history there with the creation of the deep dish pizza. The owner Rudy Milnati Jr., his father goes back to being possibly the inventor of deep dish pizza at Pizzeria Uno before it was even called Pizzeria Uno back in 1943. So it was really cool to kind of give them a sense of what it was like to eat in the neighborhoods. And we would go down to Hyde Park. We'd visit the Obama's favorite pizza, which is called Italian Fiesta. And that's just a greasy tavern style pizza. It was great. And all of these pizza places were different from each other. So invariably we would ask them, oh, what was your favorite slice of today? Which one did you vote for as the best slice? But they were all so different from each other that it was hard to compare. And they'd be like, well, gee, I don't know. You know, I really like this one for this. And this one was totally different there. And I'm like, perfect. That's exactly what I was going for on this tour, you know?
And there you go. There you have it. There's our good friend, John Porter. Thank you, John, for coming on. Brian and I really appreciate it. Being our guinea pig, our very first interview. I thought Absolutely. That went very, very well.
Yeah, thanks again, John. Really great having you on, and look forward to tracking your movements as business continues forward for pizza. Chicago Pizza Tours. So thanks again. So here we are, regrouping on our football battle here. I am in the hole. Two wins to your four. Are. I got off the mat last week with that Chargers win. And down but not out. So
congratulations.
What do we got this week coming up, my man?
All right. Well, as you know, Arizona Cardinals 3-2, bringing the heat to the Big D. Dallas going to visit your boys in blue, who are currently at 2-3, had a wonderful game last week. Let's see. Cardinals are giving up 2.5 points. What do you think?
Well, I think I'm going to have to bet against my Cowboys because I don't trust a ginger quarterback ever. And I think the Cowboys' defense is still terrible. Mm-mm. I say that with a heavy heart because it's on the eve of Dak Prescott's gruesome, horrific injury, which was the grossest thing I've seen in the last 10 years. And I hope him a fast recovery. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to bet against my boys this week.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to make it interesting again. I'm going to go with the Cowboys. And we'll see what happens at the end of next week. I'm feeling good about this one, though.
Cool.
I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to show up at home.
We shall see, my friend. Well, that should do it for us here at Two Guys, One Podcast. And we will see everybody again on Wednesday. Right, be safe and be well.
See ya.
It's Two Guys, One Podcast.